So if you grew up in California and you made it past the fourth grade, you probably learned that our state motto is Eureka, which is the transliteration of a Greek word that means I have found it. I've found it. Now, it was originally referring to the discovery of gold up at Sutter's Mill in 1848. But for the millions of people who have come to California since then, I have found it could also refer to the farmlands, the timberlands, the oil fields, the beaches, the cities on the coast, and the ports and the trade, Silicon Valley, and even Hollywood. For millions of people, California has been a treasure chest of resources and opportunity upon which people have staked their futures and which they've trusted to come through for them. Now, we know that futures are a kind of slippery thing. They don't always work out the way that we want, and that there are very few things, if any things, that we can solely depend upon in this life, that we can solely put our trust in. And if we put our trust in the wrong things, we know that we can end up with a big fistful of disappointment. So the question for us today is this: upon what do you depend? What do you trust in? And what should we depend on? What should we put our trust in? When you look at your life, and I look at my life, can we ask ourselves what it is that we really should put our trust in? And answer, we found it. Well, Jesus knew that this is a big question for people. As he sat on that mountainside teaching his disciples and teaching the others who were seeking his wisdom, he knew that this idea of where do we put our trust, on what do we depend, that's something that people struggle with. And it's super important because the thing that we trust, the things that we trust, those are the things that we're going to treasure the most, the things that we're going to hang on to the tightest. Now, the people who listened to Jesus were a lot like us. They naturally, like we do, trusted in things that they could see and feel and touch, hear, those things that are around us that we can understand with our senses. And like us, they trusted in money. They trusted in money. They trusted in money. They made money their treasure. And it makes sense, because we need money. It's essential to our survival. Beyond that, money buys comfort. And even beyond that, money finances power. So people trust in money. And they also trust and treasure people. Now, we trust and treasure people like our parents, like family, like friends and business associates. And we trust and we treasure them, not only because we love them, but also because that network of people in our lives gives us a sense of security. And it also gives us a sense of support in our lives. So we trust in money. We trust in people. And we do that because people and money, those are two things that really go a long way in our making our way in the world, in taking our little corner of the earth and conquering it and taming it and shaping it into a wonderful life. And you know what? God wants us to do that. It's a desire that we all have to create a wonderful life. It's a desire that I think God gives to us. When you look at Genesis, the account of creation in chapter 1, and you've all heard this before, it said that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That means that God created all of us, all people, to be a little bit like him, to be creative, to be people who make things and do things and imagine things. He made us like him in his image. And then God blessed us. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Now, that doesn't just mean fill the earth with people, even though it does mean that. It also means fill the earth with things. Good things that we create, that we can make. It means fill the earth with all kinds of wonderful foods. It means fill the earth with inventions that make life better, that make life more interesting. God wants us to create in this earth a wonderful life for you, for me, for the benefit of all people. But when it comes down to deciding what we are going to depend on and ultimately put our trust in and ultimately treasure, the things that we make, the things that we do, the things we create, as good as they are, they're a bad choice. Because everything on this earth disappears. It eventually decays. No matter how strong it is, no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how eternal it seems, everything falls apart and disappears. You know, one of my favorite places to go in California is Bodie. It's an old gold mining town. It is a ghost town right now, but it is like a ghost city. It's huge. And at one time, Bodie was just a prosperous gold mining town. It had over 6,000 people living there. They had all the amenities, theaters and banks and schools. It had everything. It was a thriving town. But listen, when the gold began to disappear and the silver was played out, the people began to disappear as well. And many of them just left all of their belongings and just cut out. Well, the last person left there in 1942. And in 1962, they made it into a state park. And you can go there. And it illustrates this, I think, so powerfully. When you look through those clouded windows into these homes that once were occupied by bustling people, you look in and you see the expensive wallpaper that was once just richly, brightly colored. It's now gray, it's faded away. You see these tin ceilings they used to make that were stamped with ornate decorations. They were put up on the ceiling. They were built to last, but they're sagging with the weight of other debris falling down upon them. The beds, the shelves, the tables, they're thick with dust. Light filters in through the cracks in the walls. When Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, he means, in the things that we create, in the things around us, do not put your eggs in that basket. Do not put your trust in those things. Rather, he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And here's why. For where we put our treasure, there your heart will be also. The things that we trust in, the things that we treasure, those things that we want to grab onto and hold as hard as we can, that's where our heart is going to be. We want to choose the right thing, or else we're going to end up with just a big armful of nothing. Where do we put our trust? When we put our trust, if it comes down to a choice between putting our trust in things of the earth that will disappear, guaranteed, and the things of God, God Himself, who is eternal, well, then I think we only have one choice. And that is to put first in our lives, put first that thing that will last. Put first that which will last. And that is God's love for you. That's God's love for me. That's a love that began before time and will go on forever. Put first the thing that will last. And by the way, it's also the thing that will change our lives for the better right now. Today is Pentecost Sunday. That's why I have these candles behind us and the banners are red today. Because on Pentecost, we celebrate, we commemorate the day that God's Holy Spirit just filled the earth and descended upon Jesus' disciples. Jesus had promised right before he died that he would not leave his people alone, that he would send this Holy Spirit that they could trust in, to be their counselor, to be their guide, to teach them the truth, to teach them and remind them of all the things that Jesus had said, that he would give them, this Holy Spirit would give them strength when they needed it. And man, did those disciples need it after Jesus was crucified and even after he rose from the dead and when he ascended into heaven and they were left all alone. They needed it. Their lives were still in a very precarious place. They were in Jerusalem. They were in a room. They were surrounded by people who had great antipathy towards Jesus and great antipathy towards any of his disciples. If they had been trusting in their senses, if they had been trusting in their senses, they would have trusted in their legs and their feet and they would have beat it out of there. But they trusted in God. They trusted in what Jesus had said. And on this day of Pentecost, as they waited in that upper room, they felt the power of the Holy Spirit fill that room. They said it was like wind coming through the room and like fire in the room. And they were filled with an amazing strength and an amazing power that transformed them in that moment, transformed them from cowering men and women into people who would be towering witnesses for the love of God. They would change history because of the power of that Holy Spirit. Come on. Jesus has that same gift for you and me. When we trust in him, we ask that Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. The Holy Spirit is always calling. He's always calling to us. You know? I look at it like this. I look at it like this, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a believer or not. I look at it like this. Every one of us has like a radio receiver inside our hearts. And it has all these different frequencies, all these different stations. And we dial station to station. And sometimes we land on a station a little longer at this period in our lives and a little longer over here. Like when we're young, we kind of get into the romance station and that's like the most important station. And then maybe we go to the career station. Maybe we get a little older and it's the how am I going to raise these kids station, whatever it is. But all of the time, there's a frequency where God is calling. Where God is broadcasting, the Holy Spirit is broadcasting God's good will for you and for me. And sometimes that signal is so strong, I mean, we might catch it, you know, when we're going from place to place, we'll get snatches of it, but sometimes that will of God, that call of the Spirit is so strong, it intrudes on everything else we're doing, huh? Listen, when we have children, signal of the Holy Spirit, it gets strong. When we're dealing with an illness, the signal, the message of the Holy Spirit, it gets strong. When we're dealing with the death of a loved one, the signal gets strong. You know, they say there are no atheists in foxholes. When we come to terms with our own mortality, when we understand, and it's clear as day, that everything that we make, that we are, will disappear, the Holy Spirit gets very strong. So who do we trust? Where will we place our trust? It's an important question. Because where we place our trust is where our treasure will be. And where our treasure is, that is where our heart is. Will we place that trust in that which will last, in God? His love for you, His love for me, His love that began before time and will continue on forever. This past month, we've been in this series called Homebound, where we've been following Jesus on this ministry journey. And we've talked about how God calls to every one of us. We've talked about how it is that when we start to understand how much we really need God, God blesses us. He sets us apart with a great purpose in our lives to be salt and light in the world, to preserve and to promote His way in a sometimes dark and sometimes rotting world. He calls us to go the extra mile, honoring and valuing others, being faithful to others. He calls us to go the extra mile, to love people the way that God loves. Well, next week, we're going to begin a new series. We're going to stay with Jesus going on this trip, but we're going to take a turn onto a new road that can only be called Jesus' Miracle Mile. We're going to see how Jesus heals the skin of a man afflicted with leprosy, but also heals the sin in a man's heart. We're going to see Him revivify a girl who has died, but whose father will not take death for an answer. But this week, let's think about what it is you trust. Where does your treasure lie? And maybe you should ask, and I should ask, the Holy Spirit to help us prioritize, to help us put first that which will last, God's love and our love for Him, that began before time and continues forever. If we can do that, if we can grab hold of that, if we can make that our treasure, then eureka, we've found it. Let's pray.